Good morning. Welcome back once again. This is Bob Wise with Forgotten Word Ministries, and you're listening to the Forgotten Word radio program. Lovely and wonderful to have you back today. We pray yesterday you learned something about how our country is falling away from God. I truly believe that we've become so lukewarm. There's a great apostasy going on in America today, in the world really, but in the United States is what we're talking about basically here now. But I hope you got a little bit of an idea about how we are falling away from the Lord, and I think that one of the problems that we have that's caused a lot of this, especially for Christians, people who proclaim to be Christians, is their failure. I guess I would say failure to know how to worship God. We seem to have forgotten what worship's really all about, and it seems like to me that a lot of the ministers of these churches don't understand that worship is a very integral part of your worship service. And when I say worship, let me explain to you what I'm talking about. Authentic, holistic worship, completely involved worship. Churches and pastors, I believe, they've got to recapture the importance of worship in the life of the church. And, there's three reasons I believe why. And I read these reasons out of a book I read one time. That's where I originally read them. Like everything that we seem to have knowledge of, we got it from somewhere. And this I remember reading a long time ago. But worship is emphasized in the Bible, all throughout the Bible. It's important because the Bible says it's important. In fact, worship is emphasized in Scripture from the beginning all the way to the end. It's mentioned more than preaching is in the Bible. Worship is. There was a book written one time by Barry Leish called People in the Presence of God, where he presented five worship models that he found to be revealed in Scripture. Now, you may or may not agree with these, but I found them to be really interesting and something to learn from, something that's been forgotten in the churches today. And I think we need to get back to some of these things. But anyway, let me read you a little bit about it. He said there's five basic models, and they are pre-Sinai, which is family worship modeled by the patriarchs, tabernacle, temple worship, synagogue worship, the Pauline worship, and worship in the book of Revelation. And that's where what he thought. And I think that's exactly right. And there was, and it shows that there was worship throughout the whole Old and New Testament. Worship also edifies the people of God. Worship's important because when it's done well, it has the potential to influence people as much or more sometimes than what the sermons do. And that's maybe sad to say, but if worship is done properly, your worship service, which is, your singing, and praising of the Lord, if you handle that properly and use good songs that have a message and songs that I don't know, I'd say a good worship song can usher you into an attitude of praise to God. Now, it can also, the right type of music can usher you into a lot of other things, and that's where you have to be careful. Rock and roll music tends to want to just make you rock and roll, and you get a little bit of a stupid frenzy going on some of that stuff. But good worship music in your worship service it can be so beneficial. The goal, I guess I would say, I started to tell you that worship it's important because when it's done properly, it has the potential to influence people, as much as more than the sermon to do. But the goal is for people to be spiritually refreshed. They need to be nurtured and transformed through worship. And when this takes place, I can tell you honestly that Christians are, they become more willing to give themselves, how would I say it? Give yourself away, I guess, in a sacrificial service. I know that there's been times I've been in some services where they had extremely good worship music that really, really brought me to a place where I was crying for God. I mean, I wanted God. I wanted Him so much more because the music and the words to the music were so, had so much edification in them. They were so edifying, to the Lord that they helped me to get myself in the kind of like the right, how do I want to say this, mind frame, I guess you could maybe say. I know I'm stammering around a little bit, but I think you know what I'm talking about. It's, you prepare yourself for things, and this is how good worship service can prepare you for worshiping the Lord. You know, I really do believe that. It can be spiritually refreshing, like I said. You know, it can nurture you, and it can transform you through worship. And it's honestly, it's essential that believers' souls be satisfied in worship if they're to function, you know, as believers. And a lot of times, like some other people say, believer priest, like in the Old Testament, and, you know, I guess you could say, you know, like the believers in the New Testament, because we're all messengers of the Lord. Now, they're special messengers, of course, but all of us are to, edify the Lord and to spread His gospel. And you know, music can really get you in that mind frame to where you really want to give yourself to the Lord more and more. If something happens to the pastor, as an example, you know, he gets sick at the beginning of the service and he can't preach, there still should be a way to use worship music and worshiping to, go ahead and continue on with the service. You know, you can still have, you know, your soul can be nourished, you know, and satisfied, just from the result of having attended that worship service and had the right things going on. Worship's also integral, to the church. And a lot of people tend to forget that. Now, I know that the Pentecostals and a lot of independent churches have made maybe the worship, music worship to be maybe too much, but there's a flip side of that. There's a lot of churches that go in and they sing maybe the two dullest hymns they can find in the hymn book, and then they have a message, you know, and everybody's just kind of sitting there. Nobody, for lack of better words today, I'm going to say nobody gets in the mood to worship God. And that's sad. It's sad that it takes that, but you know what? Sometimes, you know, like David, you know, he worshiped the Lord with joy, and that's what we have to do. Let me read you a little bit about why I believe also that worship's integral to the church. You know, it's important because it's an integral part of what takes place in the service that occurs in most churches on Sunday morning. And that's just, you know, that's the kind of setup we have. People in our churches and the guests and the visitors, you know, I hate to say this, but they judge the church on the basis of what happens in the public, you know, worship service. I mean, when you have a guest come to your church and it's a dull, dry, worship singing, and then a dull, dry sermon where, you know, it's just everybody just sits there like bumps on a log. Where's the enticement for them to come and want to learn from you and to be part of your church to worship God in when he doesn't see anybody worshiping God? And isn't that what worship's all about? Tell people, worship the Lord, worship the Lord. Well, act like it then. It's so important because that's what guests and strangers, when they come to the church, they're going to do. They're going to make a judgment call on that. Service attracts the largest number of people in most cases, and it's viewed as a church at its best. You know, that's how it works. Much of the week's preparation time in a lot of churches is focused on, you know, that one, you know, main event of worship. It also can serve as a litmus test for the church as a whole. You know, most people determine whether or not they want to be part of a church based on the worship service. Even before considering the church's programs and events, they'll go in and they'll make a decision. You know, if worship is not done well, then in most minds, actually, you know, it's a reflection on the other programs of the church, whether it's true or not, but that's a reflection and it'll show. And so those people won't come back for a second look at you. They're just going to leave and say, I went and visited so-and-so's, such-and-such church last Sunday, and man, it was dead, man. I didn't like that at all. Everybody just sat there watching. There wasn't no amens, there wasn't no praise of God, there wasn't no nothing. Doesn't mean you got to get up and jump on the back pews and scream and yell and jump the floor and act like an idiot. But I do believe wholeheartedly that a lot of non-Pentecostal churches miss out on the joy of the Lord in the worship service because they're too timid, too embarrassed, too ashamed to say amen, or during a special time where they might lift their hands up to the Lord and speak to the Lord, or at least praise Him with their hands raised up. It's the old joke, put your hand down. They might think you're a Pentecostal, and it shouldn't mean that at all. It really shouldn't. It's a shame that stigma has been put on people that are non-Pentecostals because they believe if they do anything at all, somebody will think they're a holy roller or something. And that's really sad. So worship is serious, serious business in the church, if you want to call it that. It's certainly a very serious, integral part of your church service. And I can tell you another thing, it does. A good worship service before the sermon puts the pastor in a special kind of mood. He may have been ready to preach a dynamite service, but with a good worship service before the preaching starts, I tell you what, you'll notice the difference. You'll notice the bounce in his step and the bounce in his voice and the joy in his voice, and you'll start seeing that more of that commitment and that dedication to God that maybe he hadn't been showing before, all brought on by a really good worship service that brought him closer to the Lord, to the songs that were sung, songs that made sense, songs that sounded not only good but talked good, had the right words that meant something, that made him all of a sudden feel like, I want to worship the Lord more. And that's what worship service is all about. Now, don't get confused when you see what I'm saying here. A lot of people on their signs outside say worship service 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, or whatever. I'm talking about, I call worship service the part where you're singing and praising the Lord and those kind of things. The sermon part is separate from what I'm talking about today. So don't be confused by that. I'm not saying your whole service has to be singing. I'm saying that that part before the sermon is what I call the worship service, and music and song and adoration and lifting up your voices to the Lord. Just can be the most wonderful part of a church service, and I think that's where a lot of true Christians are missing out on their joy, and because of that, they walk out of the church without that extra lift in their step and without that extra joy in their heart, and they don't share the Lord like you would think that they would. As I've said on another sermon or another message, and used in a sermon and used in class, Bible class before, if Jesus is precious to you, if he is that precious to you, how can you not speak about him most all the time? You get a baby, or your child has a grandbaby, your son or daughter does, and man, you talk about that little child all the time because it's so precious to you, but yet the Lord sits on the back burner. So a part of the church that I think is missing is true, authentic worship. And I really believe that. And I think we got to get back to that. Now, we're going to cover some more things on this. We're going to have to do it tomorrow because we're running out of time today. But there's a lot about worship, I think, that really makes the church what it is today. And I'd like to see us get back to that point. So I thank you for coming, or for listening. I thank you for tuning in today. I pray that you'll tune in tomorrow. God bless each one of you. We'll continue on this subject.